Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Tuesday, March 22nd. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. Back at you today. Hopefully a little less controversial, although if you look at numbers and analytics, it pays to go off. I mean, it literally does. Like views, clicks, all of that. When you talk about something controversial or you say the F word a bunch of times, apparently people are here for it. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm here for it.
Welcome to the morning show. Here we are, ready to talk about Tennessee's huge commit, a bunch of other things. Obviously, the NFL quarterback situation is shaking out, and Baker Mayfield is like a hooker on the corner that can't get picked up. He really is. But before we get started, wanted to mention Zone6.com is launching Friday. No matter what, I'm speaking into existence. I'm putting pressure. But you know, they say apply pressure. I'm putting pressure on everyone to get it done, myself more than anyone. So that'll be launching Friday. We still have squares available. If you want to play squares for the remainder of March Madness, pays out it's the square board, right? Final score, winning last digit, losing last digit. If your square hits, $100 on the Sweet 16, $200 on the Elite 8, $400 on the Final Four, and $1,000 on the national championship. So if you want to do that, $100 Venmo to Cameron Media. I didn't pay out the squares from this weekend yesterday, and I started filling it out. It's just, well, shit, there was 32 plus 16, we're at 48 games to pay out. So there's just a lot of freaking numbers to look up, but I will get that done. I promise, coming soon. But if you're interested in playing, $100 a square, Venmo it over at Cameron Media, no LLC. Somebody Venmo'd the LLC, some LLC, and just make sure it's Cameron Media. That's it. And ask to be the friend first, and I'll accept you. So that's the housekeeping that I have, Chris.
Very good, dog. So here we are, and Urban Meyer is trending again.
Oh God, I know.
Like again, and this one kind of threw me. I immediately saw it and texted you like, yo, what's going on with your boy? Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense. Multiple sources told The Athletic that Jaguars former coach Urban Meyer was unfamiliar with star players around the NFL, including Deebo Samuel, Jamal Adams, and Aaron Donald. There was a quote in there, who's the 99 guy on the Rams? I'm hearing he might be a problem for us.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted about it, and I entirely believe that he said that. He just lives in a different world than us. I mean, it's and I'm not going to say he's narcissistic. I'm not going to go that far, but he just I've told the story on the podcast. Like, this is a man that'll be on the phone on a walk at lunch on campus, and he'll cross High Street with a green light and cars coming and not even look both ways. Like, he looks no ways because he's Urban Meyer. And if he's walking, you stop. Like, it's just
High Street, just crossing it, just feeling like him.
We broke for lunch. I ran to the gas station to get a coffee. No, get a can of dip or something. I don't know what it was, but I'm driving back to the office and I almost took him out. Like, it would have been the end of Urban Meyer. The storyline would have never been Zach Smith got fired for domestic abuse. The storyline would have been wide receiver coach Zach Smith kills Urban Meyer with his car accidentally. That would have been the storyline had I not slammed on my brakes, because he's on the phone and just walks right across. This was Olentangy River Road. Just not a care in the world for traffic, cars coming, nothing. He just walked across like, the fuck, I'm busy. I'm the head coach. Mm-hmm. I'm a big time guy. I got a lot going on. Like, you peons have nothing going on. I'm walking. You need to stop. Like, that's just how he operates, right? So it's not surprising to me at all that he didn't know who Aaron Donald was. That he didn't. I mean, that one's a little surprising. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're,
like, this guy is like, wow. But Deebo Samuel,
one of the best ever.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel, no chance. He knew who that was. Jamal Adams, no chance. Like, this is safety. Doesn't count. Like, there's just – but you got to understand, right? Twofold. One, that's his personality that I just described. Mm-hmm. But two, when is this guy watching NFL highlights, Sports Center, anything? Like, he doesn't have time to do that. I never did. Gotcha. I didn't know it's half just, the players in the NFL.
It just feels insane not to know, like, the Donald one really is like – You know,
but the point is, when are you watching the NFL?
Okay. That's fair.
No, well, no, when are you watching Sports Center in season? So the only time he could learn about Aaron Donald is in the off season, but who is watching Sports Center and hearing about Aaron Donald in the off season?
No, I don't know. It just feels like Urban Meyer feels like such an obsessive person that that certain details you would kind of get. I mean, on the college side, he knew a lot of the players he was going up against, I thought or would hope.
Yeah,
or,
but he did. He never recruited Aaron Donald, never coached against Aaron Donald. Why would he know Aaron Donald? Now, you would think.
Yeah, Zach, I'm not. I don't know, man.
You would think in his year off, right?
Yeah.
That he would have learned about him, maybe. But I don't know what he did in his year off. I mean, maybe he just, I don't know. I'm not even going to go there. But I don't know what he did in his year off, but
he was with that blondie.
You would have thought that he would have learned about him maybe, but especially if he was contemplating going to the NFL, I get that. Yeah. That's I think the only argument I can see being made to kind of call him out. I don't know, but it's just this is another media hit job. Urban. Mm-hmm. Like going after Urban Meyer must sell articles a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that's all it is, right? And then the quotes, I mean, some of them are like, I need some context here. I need to hear him say it. Like if he did say it, it certainly was a joke and he was trying to connect with a player. But
oh, he made a comment about, you know, them transcripts down south ain't right. That didn't sound kind of,
to be honest with you, it's funny. And he's not wrong. I've already told the story of Calvin Ridley. Like, he's not wrong. Mm-hmm. And he was, I'm sure he wasn't calling the kid dumb. He was just joking around. I mean, the guy made a living and has great relationships with, I don't know, 100 players from down south. Like, it's just, it's whatever. It's completely clickbait is what it is. And I mean, I'm not even here to say that those statements are right or that's how you should coach, but it's like, shut up. Like, you don't know the context. The player that he said it to hasn't come out and been like, he disrespected me, like that little pussy kicker. Like, it, I don't know why people feel like they need to go after other people for a source told me that Urban Meyer called someone a bitch. And it's like, what if the player that he said that to, it was a joke and he didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, and how is it said? Like, there's so much that goes into it. I need context. I need to hear it. See it. I've been around Urban. I was around him for whatever, 12 years. I've heard him say all kinds of shit that if I just wrote it down and wrote an article, you'd be like, damn, that is a disrespectful bad guy. But like, that's just because it's just a quote. Mm-hmm. You weren't there for the conversation. You didn't hear the context. You didn't hear the response. You didn't know their relationship. I could go on forever. That is the problem with the world. Right there.
It's crazy because like I wrote in the notes today that like if I were a writer working for some company, I would just go make up whatever shit quote ever and say Urban Meyer said it and just roll with it.
Who can dispute it?
Exactly. Like anonymous sources have ruined journalism at a certain level, especially with social media.
Yeah. And because the only person that can dispute it is Urban Meyer. And if he comments on your article, holy shit, you're going to get 100 million more clicks
immediately.
And he can't prove that he didn't say it.
Yeah, and Urban Meyer's credibility with the media is at an all-time low. Like, it's never been lower. Sure. You can go out and say whatever you want.
For sure. Like,
and it's over. So, shout out to the writers. I mean, we're going to get this every 2 months, Zach. Every 2 months, we're going to get a new, like, Urban Meyer situation, a new Urban Meyer story, a new Urban Meyer hit piece. And, you know, I mean, he made his bet, so he's going to have to lay in it. But I do want to move to – I digress. Let's move to college football.
Yeah.
The Tennessee kid, man. Nico, I don't even know how to say his last name, dog. I'm not even going to try it. I've never seen it pronounced. I've watched a lot of his stuff because I knew he was one of the early Ohio State quarterbacks that Ryan Day offered. So it's like, wow, like that's an exciting thing.
The $8 million man, huh?
Yeah, and we thought it was Arch. I thought for sure it was Arch Manning, but like the only high school junior that, you know, warranted the $8 million.
Yeah.
We called bullshit on it because that's such an absurd number. And then you start seeing the crystal balls roll in for him, for Nico, a West Coast kid, to go to Tennessee. And they might have their guy. I mean, I think he's super talented. Obviously, I'll wait till you, break things down. But Zach, give me your take on the Nico. I don't even want to try it.
Okay. Well, I was actually talking to one of my good friends who's a Tennessee fan about this. And here's my take on it. This is not that lucrative of a contract for a potentially. What do you want to call him in college? A franchise quarterback, right?
A program changer.
Because you think about this now in recruiting, and I've dealt with it forever. And it was one of my biggest things I said to Urban Meyer, and he would always view it as an excuse, but we're going out and signing JT Barrett's of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing against JT Barrett. I mean, I love JT, one of the all-time greats, not a big name in recruiting. That's the moral of my message here. Not that JT wasn't great, but he was not a big name in recruiting, right? He was a middle of nowhere Texas quarterback that the University of Texas didn't offer, and it wasn't a big splash. I mean, good recruiting job, like Joe Burrow. Nobody cared that Joe Burrow committed to Ohio State. And in recruiting, getting a premier name to commit at quarterback changes the trajectory of everything that happens in recruiting. As good of a job as Brian Hartline does, and he does a great job, it is really easy to get the top receiver in the country to consider Ohio State if the top quarterback in the country is committed, right? It is such a selling point because it's what matters, right? So $8 million to get this kid to commit is entirely worth it. What could change the trajectory of Tennessee more? Raising $8 million to revamp and renovate their indoor facility, or raising $8 million to get a five-star top two or three, whatever he is, top two quarterback committed early to try to put together a top five class. Mm-hmm. Like, what's more important? And keep in mind, they are not Michigan State, where they say, you know what, we just have to do a really good job evaluating. And then if we can just, you know, win the games we're supposed to, and maybe
sneak one,
take a sneak shot on Ohio State, we could win the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what Michigan State is. Tennessee, no chance. They got to play Alabama and Georgia every year. They need firearms. They need bazookas. They need, you know, heat seeking missiles. They cannot, you know, kind of get through and then sneak Georgia, because Alabama's going to just clobber them.
No, they can't bunt three or four times a game and hope to. No, they have to hit doubles and triples and home runs. And the Nico kid is that. Per 247, he's the number three player in the country. The composite, he's the number seven player in the country. Widely considered, you know, huge, huge upside. I mean, 6'5", 200 pounds already as a junior. He's going to obviously fill out more. Throws a really pretty ball, you know, really tight mechanics like those. I call them those Cali mechanics. Those Cali quarterbacks throw a little bit differently. They spin it a little better. And he comes from, he's the cousin of DJ Uiagalelei. So, being around that family, I know that DJ's dad has really helped him with the recruiting process. I mean, he is now the highest rated recruit that Tennessee's ever gotten, Zach. So that's a program changer.
It really is. I mean,
At quarterback.
It can change the trajectory of your entire program. And I look back at the Taj Boyd, like, just look at Clemson, right? Clemson was Tennessee. I mean, they really were. They were Tennessee right now. Like, just mediocrity, right?
They were losing to Georgia Tech every year.
I mean, Tommy Bowden gets fired. They hire Dabo Sweeney, who's a nobody. Nobody knows him, right? The one thing they had to do was beat Ohio State on Taj Boyd, and they did, right? And then the tides turned. Taj Boyd ended up being a great player. After Taj Boyd, they got Deshaun Watson. After Deshaun Watson, they got Trevor Lawrence, right? Completely changed the trajectory of the entire program, and it took Dabo's incompetence to fuck it up, right? Tennessee needed that. They needed Taj Boyd, Deshaun Watson. If they could find a way to get it, it could completely pivot and change the trajectory of their entire program. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to. The kid has to be a great player. They have to finish the job with the class, right? They actually have to stack some wins this year. Now, I'm not going to lie, Tennessee is is kind of my sleeping giant right now to become, you know, that next Georgia or that next Clemson. They're not a blue blood. They're not Ohio State. They're not Alabama, right? But they have a chance with this, with two things going on. One, Hendon Hooker came back. They really kind of returned almost everyone, right? Georgia lost almost everyone. Florida sucks. South Carolina is coming up, right? So the East, they have a chance to be the third best team in the SEC this year.
And with booster support, I mean, they can keep recruiting at a high level and be like Texas A&M. Like, they have incredible booster support, Zach.
There's no doubt. And so you're looking at right now, all right, Tennessee might have a chance to be in the mix for the third best team in the SEC, right? Alabama is one for sure. Georgia, A&M, battling for that two spot. Tennessee could sneak fourth or third. And if they are not with this recruiting class on campus yet, that will only parlay into more recruiting successes. I mean, you think about it. If they go 10-2, if they only lose to Alabama and Georgia, 10-2 at Tennessee right now, that is going to open so many doors in recruiting and so much momentum. What an investment that $8 million will be if that all happens, right?
Georgia does reload. That's one interesting point, Zach. Someone said Nico higher rated than Peyton Manning. The modern day recruiting age wasn't.
When does Georgia reload?
Oh, I was just reading the comments over there.
They've been in the national championship and lost, and then they won it this year because they had a freakish defense who pretty much everybody's gone.
No, they won it because Jameson got hurt, but go ahead.
I mean that's true too, but Georgia will never be a long, I'm not going to say never be, but Georgia, it needs to have a franchise quarterback to be Alabama, to be Ohio State. I'm not even going to say Ohio State because Ohio State's not there, but just to be a multiple national championship winner, a consistent participant in the national championship game. They need a franchise quarterback. They've never had that ever. Not one time. I mean, I can't think of one Georgia quarterback in the last 25 years. Matt Stafford, that's it, right?
Mark Richt, what a guy.
It's just they need a quarterback before we could ever say Georgia reloads. No, Georgia had a freakish defense, and they all left. So we'll see who they got in the wings. But when Georgia finishes
Georgia
second,
Georgia needs to be plus at quarterback. Like, they need to be really plus at quarterback. And until they have quarterbacks being talked about three rounds.
Goes back to the conversation I had with the same friend of mine that's a Tennessee fan. Why would you go to Georgia if you're a receiver or quarterback? Why? Why? They're not going to. I mean, they've signed a couple big-time receivers. Shit, the one kid just transferred to Alabama. Like, those kids are not coming to Georgia. Why would they? The only people that are coming to Georgia are defensive players. I mean, I guess tight ends, but not right now. Brock Bowers is there. Like, you're not going to see the field. They have like 3 or 4 5 stars. So you're not seeing the field if you're a tight end. So right now I'm not coming there. A running back. That's it on offense. The only position that I would go to Georgia for is if I was a running back. You know why? Because they can't fucking throw it. They don't throw it. They don't develop or even evaluate or even pick the right quarterback. Like, no, Georgia doesn't reload. Georgia had a veteran freak defense. That's why they won the national championship. And they ran the ball well. Obviously, they had a good backfield. But no,
I hear you. I mean, I think players in that defense have come out and said, you know, if Jameson doesn't get hurt, we probably lose that game. So we'll leave that at that. But I do want to ask you, how much do you think Arch Manning was kind of offered for the Tennessee? Well, I mean, obviously Peyton Manning was there. We thought, I mean, he has the name recognition to go along with. I mean, he'll generate the money NIL wise.
Yeah. So you have to think about it, right? Like, what it depends on where. Is it Ole Miss? Then a lot.
Tennessee's tied to the Manning family also. Peyton Manning's, you know, kind of been spearheading this with the family, of course.
Right.
So you would think that.
I don't think the Manning family is tied to, I mean, they are. Peyton is a god there. I mean, I think I told the story. I visited Tennessee. A former GA of mine was at Tennessee. He actually just left. But when we went on my son's baseball trip to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, we stopped by Knoxville on the way back, and I wanted to see the facility. We went to lunch, whatever. And when we were there, I was shown the Peyton Manning room, which I don't know if people know this. Tennessee, like Knox, the University of Tennessee is a dry campus. Like you cannot buy alcohol on campus anywhere. Like you have to go off campus to buy it. Like you can't buy it. It's a dry campus, except for the Peyton Manning room. They have a caveat in the law that campus is dry, except for Peyton's room. So you talk about big time and connected. Like I've never heard of that. So I just wanted to tell that side story. But
no, that's a really good story.
But he I know Peyton loves Tennessee. He's tied to Tennessee, but I don't think that he would ever influence Arch at all. But the one thing Arch Manning has is the name recognition, right? More so than anyone else on the board, other than Bronny, right? Mm-hmm. Like LeBron James' son and Arch Manning are the two where you're like, wow. I mean, even if they don't pan out as like generational talents, you have a Manning representing
you have
brand.
A Manning. You have a LeBron. James,
and like LeBron is going to retweet his son's tweet. like you are kind of buying Peyton and Eli when you buy Arch, right? You're buying LeBron when you buy Bronny, right? Mm-hmm. Or I shouldn't say buy, you know, when you
back sign up the brakes truck.
I mean, it is buying. We don't want to call it that, but it is literally paying someone to do whatever you want. So
I was curious about that. I do want to ask this question before we move on to the NFL stuff. Who do you think will be better in 2 years, LSU or Tennessee? I have Tennessee being better in 2 years. I think the Nico kid's going to be a star. I think he's going to be a really good player. I mean,
but listen, it was Tennessee before this happened. Like and people that listened to the show all season knew I jumped on the Tennessee train really. I wanted to for a long time. But I really jumped on it when I started watching Hendon Hooker play because I just fell in love with the kid. He's not a you know, top 10 quarterback or nothing like that yet. He wasn't.
He'll be a top 10 quarterback this upcoming
this
season.
This year he will be.
Yeah, he'll probably be top five.
I love the way he played the game. And you saw a raw, talented kid that every week got a little bit better. He was taking coaching. He was developing in season. Like, I loved everything about him. And when he announced he was returning, I jumped 2 feet on the Tennessee bandwagon. Like, I think Tennessee will be better than LSU. And I think they're in that mix in a year, this year, and if this recruiting class comes together in the future, to be that fourth, third team in the SEC. I do.
So no, I definitely agree with that. I think they're going to be good. And it's interesting because Tennessee's taken a shot before, like at a top flight quarterback. They beat Ohio State for the Jarrett Gontar. I don't know how to say the other kid's name. Back when you were at Ohio State, when the Fields class, it's like Jarrett Gontero.
Garantano.
Yeah, Garantano. Excuse me. And that was kind of their first, because he was the number one option, I thought, for Urban Meyer at Ohio State. And obviously we missed on him and then ended up with Tristan Wallace. And then it got weird. And then we got Dwayne Haskins. So it's kind of their second shot at that. But I think this kid, I mean, has all the
The Garantano thing, I got all kinds of shit. I got articles written about me because of Garantano. And I obviously knew he was one of our top prospects at quarterback, but I wasn't recruiting him, not involved at all. But when he committed to Tennessee, I really didn't even know he did it. Like we weren't in a meeting, weren't talking about it on that day, but I had something happen with a receiver in Florida. It might have been Trayvon Grimes. I don't know what class it was, but I think it was. And I tweeted something, kind of a subtweet to an extent, because I couldn't tag the kid and didn't want to go after the school. But when I tweeted it, it was like an hour after Garantano committed to Tennessee, and they started writing articles. Ohio State receiver coach, you know, takes shot at quarterback. And I'm like, what? I never even met the kid. I'm not talking about him. What are you talking about? But that's the media for you. Like,
is that what started the U versus Tennessee beef? Because I remember there was that weird chapter where it was like,
Tennessee on Twitter. I think it was because Tennessee fans like went off on me. And I honestly, the next morning I woke up and it was like during workday. It was like 3 o'clock or something, 4 o'clock. But I didn't check my mentions until the next morning. And I was like scrolling. I'm like, holy shit. What did I do to Tennessee today? Like, what is going on? But they went ham on me. And meanwhile, I'm like, I never even met Garantano. Like, and never. But I am going to say, if I was talking about him, I was right. Because my tweet was something about, like, if you like, players who want to be great go somewhere that can develop greatness. They don't choose average. It was something like that. And guess what? Lo and behold, the motherfucker chose average, choosed, not chose, choosed average. And where's he at? So yeah, fuck you, Tennessee fans. I wasn't even talking about your school or your recruit, but I was fucking right. I didn't even mean to be. I wasn't even talking about you, and I still was right.
No, he doesn't mean that. We like Tennessee. We like Tennessee fans. That was old beef. That was our past.
Two of my best friends are diehard Tennessee fans. Two of my really good friends are diehards. So
we did end up with Dwayne Haskins.
Fuck you, Tennessee.
Oh wait, I want to ask you about one last question on this recruiting class. Tristan Wallace was a part of that class too. And didn't he? Did he want to turn to wide receiver? Is that why you guys said no on him when he was a quarterback? Or do you not know?
No. I had nothing to do with him. I know who you're talking about, but I had no conversation with him about him ever.
Got you. I just remember that there was a report that he wanted to be a wide receiver, and then he ended up at Oregon instead of Ohio State, and we ended up with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that's a bizarre thing. I mean, I helped recruit Dwayne just because I have connections in Maryland, and as a receiver coach, I was, you know, I could relate to kids more so than.
Well, you understand the pass game too, and you're a young recruiter. I don't see why you wouldn't hit the road more. So, yeah. Look, they're frying you in the chat. Screenshot this one, LSU, and it's not even close.
We'll see. Let's circle back on that in a year.
Bet I'll cut this up and I'll have it ready for a year. Yeah.
Bookmark this. Copy. Here's all you do: copy the link, put it in your notes, and say. Or put a notification in your calendar.
Say, remind me.
Remind me to go to this note. And then you can bring the video up.
I digress. NFL. Your boy. The Big Show. So the NFL's quarterback stuff is shuffling around, Zach. And I know you have an interesting thought on this. But Baker Mayfield is less coveted than than I expected. I don't know than you expected. But everyone's finding a home at quarterback, and Baker Mayfield's not one of them. In a time where the quarterback position is such a rarity, like it's such a precious metal, and people spend, and Baker Mayfield's 26 years old, and yet I don't know what they're going to get for him.
Well, here's the thing, right? The quarterback position is all that matters, really, in the NFL. Not all that matters. But we watched it with Joe Burrow and the Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't matter that their O-line was awful. It didn't matter that their defense was slightly above average. Like, none of that mattered. They have Joe Burrow, right? And they have Ja'Marr Chase. They had some pieces. I know that. But the quarterback position is so important. But having a shit show at quarterback is something that no one wants. And you can go from Baker Mayfield to Colin Kaepernick, right? Colin Kaepernick and Baker Mayfield both suck. They're not good players. Are they good enough to be on a roster? Absolutely, right? But do teams want to deal with the bullshit that comes with them, right? And that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because Baker Mayfield's bringing a shitstorm with him, right? He's a child. He's a bitch. He's an immature. Like all the stuff we've talked about on the show. Colin Kaepernick brings a whole nother issue. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying he shouldn't be on a team. Maybe he should. I mean, he's not a good player. That's all I do know. But Colin Kaepernick, let's say you sign Colin Kaepernick. He's not any good, right? Hasn't played for X amount of years. And you cut him. Holy shit. Holy shit. The media storm you're going to deal with.
Right.
You cut Colin Kaepernick. Now, you didn't even give him a chance, right? Same, different, but similar to Baker, right? You're bringing an absolute shit show to be your quarterback. Like, do you really want that?
And it's tricky.
And the more important question, because as we learned with Deshaun Watson, they don't care about anything other than production and money. That's it. So is it worth it? Like, what's the best possible outcome? What's the ceiling here? Do you really believe that Baker can become a franchise quarterback or even like a good enough quarterback to make it worth it? Same with Colin Kaepernick. Same with all these guys. Anyone that's available. Is it worth it to bring him in? What's the ceiling? Like, what's the best possible outcome? And then what's the most likely outcome? And with Baker, there's nothing you've seen. He had one decent year. There's nothing you've seen that would say, you know what? I think he could be the guy. I think he might be the guy. Nothing.
And it's crazy because the NFL now is telling us what they think about Baker Mayfield. I mean, I typed him in the notes. Like, Baker Mayfield is like some mid-weed. It's like a kid who smokes weed for the first time and gets high. And it's like, oh my God, this is the best fucking weed ever. Like, this is the best. And everyone else is looking around like, nah, dog, you go to the dispensary, we can give you something right. Like, that's what Baker Mayfield is. Baker Mayfield is the mid-weed. And the NFL is, in Cleveland, I think Baker Mayfield fell for it himself too, thinking he was better than he was. well, overplaying his hand, you know, being arrogant and cocky and not wanting to get coaching. So,
but the society made him feel that way, right? All of a sudden, mm-hmm. the guy's like the face of Progressive Insurance or whatever the fuck it is. Like, he's doing commercials about how the stadium is his home. Like, the Browns, the Dog Pound Nation, wanted him to be the franchise face of the league. Bad, mm-hmm. so bad. It didn't matter if he was or deserved it. They're dying for it, right? They're dying for it to the point where they're like, fuck it. We'll just take this guy who raped 22 women. Like, mm-hmm. we don't care anymore. We just want to have a great player quarterback. What are they? They've had 26 or something like that quarterbacks since they came back from the dead. Like, just it's whatever it is. What Baker is, Baker's Baker. Yeah. And it's funny because if Matt Ryan, I tweeted this, if Matt Ryan is worth a third round pick only, what is Baker worth?
Exactly.
Like, Matt Ryan brings zero shit show. He will be a solid guy, right?
He's won an MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl.
Right. But never mind that. I mean, what he is today.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to kill your team. He's not going to go. He's not fucking Joe Burrow. He's not Matt Stafford. He's not going to go just dominate the NFL, mm-hmm. but he's safe. Right. He's safe.
That's it. He is safe. And now, do you think Baker Mayfield is a franchise quarterback?
Do what?
Do you think Baker Mayfield can be a franchise quarterback, or do you think he's a career backup?
So I don't know yet. I don't know.
Zach,
fuck
no, dude. He's 26 years old. You need to get an answer on this.
That doesn't matter. I mean, look at Matt Stafford. Can he be a franchise quarterback? Well, now he can because he has the pieces around him. Like, the things fall in line. Like, the NFL is so situational dependent.
But we knew Matt Stafford was a franchise quarterback before he got to the Rams.
We definitely did. But so, if I had to gamble, I would mm-hmm. take the minus 600 odds that he's not. Or I might take the value and the plus 600 that he is, because he has talent. He's got a lot to figure out off the field and how to approach the game mentally, leadership, like intangible qualities. He's got a ton to figure out. Maybe this humbling experience will help him figure it out. But so I guess the answer is no, I don't think he is a franchise quarterback, but he has tools. So Who could predict, right?
So, well, we can predict. So where I'm at with this is, if you don't think Baker Mayfield's a franchise quarterback, I think he might end up getting cut or getting traded for like a fifth or seventh rounder for the sole reason of this we talked about earlier. The last thing you want in the NFL is for your backup quarterback to be famous. That's the worst thing.
Well, in a backup quarterback, you just want a guy that's smart, that is a committed guy, mm-hmm. obviously needs to be able to make throws, but you just want someone that's low maintenance. And if shit hits the fan and he's got to become your guy, he can maybe help manage and find a way through. Right. That's it. Baker's not that guy. Mm-mm. He is a boomer bust player. Like, if you're going to sign him, that's what I'm saying. Like, why trade for him for a fifth round, seventh round pick? Unless you think he's going to be your franchise quarterback, or he's just a 1 year, a layover.
Mm-hmm.
why why do it? I mean, he's not a guy that's going to hold a clipboard. And if shit hits the fan, he's going to go out and just handle his business and do his job. Like, no.
Yeah. He's just too famous to be a backup quarterback. So unless you think he's the franchise guy, you won't trade for him. Like, like, how much better does he make a team like Seattle? Because I think Seattle is what is going to tank this year and go for one of the other two guys. Like, how much better does he make a team like Carolina? Who Carolina struck out on Deshaun Watson. I think they're going to tank and try to get another one. So,
they tank. They're gonna have a new head coach.
Oh yeah, you're right. So maybe
who's one of my good friends. So I obviously don't want that to happen, and I don't think this is his doing. But never mind. That's no,
he was dealt the worst possible hand and told ever, that he couldn't go ever. Get Justin Fields.
And then they swing and miss on Deshaun Watson. It's like, what mm-hmm. the fuck do you want this guy to do? Like, Jesus criminy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's so the Carolina thing sucked, bro. Because I know they would have taken, like, I knew that. New coach, you want to go get Justin Fields. And the Carolina Panthers say, we have Justin Fields at home, and it's fucking Sam Darnold. So there's nothing that they could have done about that. It was just bad start to finish. But that's all I have for today, Zach. I think that Baker's probably destined for a career backup job. I don't know if he'll ever get another shot, but it's bad this year, and he kind of did it to himself, and he could have done better if he just would have played better.
No doubt. So. Baker just reminds me of a quarterback that belongs on the Jets. Like, he just, it's like, I'm just telling you, I don't know why. Like, I have this vision of like Baker Mayfield on the Jets. That's what the world, that's where, that's his place in the world, is the, like being the Jets quarterback.
The hot-headed, you know, fizzle out college quarterbacks always end up with the Jets. They'll be out of the league for like 3 years, and then you'll see who's starting this week for the Jets. And it's like,
I'm just saying, like, doesn't it feel like Baker's going to be the quarterback for the Jets one day? Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't, not that it's going to happen this year. It just feels like at some point in my life, I'm going to watch Baker Mayfield start a game for the Jets.
Yeah, there are a couple teams like that. It's like them and the Dolphins. I always feel like everyone started for the Dolphins at some point. Now they have two, and obviously the Jets have the BYU kid, the Wilson kid. He does feel like a Jets quarterback. I think he looked good in green.
I'm just saying, watch out. Baker to the Jets. Maybe not this year, but at some point.
At some point. I know the Buccaneers did want him and then kind of have backed off since then. I don't know if they actually really wanted him or if that was kind of representation trying to, you know, chalk up interest for him. But Baker Mayfield, what a story. What a kind of fall from grace, I must say, after breaking the rookie record and never being the same since. And now it's crazy because I'm convinced that Joe Burrow lives the life that Baker has always dreamed of.
Oh, Joe Burrow is what people thought Baker might be.
Mm-hmm. Like number one overall pick, transfer kid, underdog, you know, for the culture, you know, a little cult following. Heisman Trophy winner, except for one, won a national title and one, you know, had success in the NFL.
That's it.
So, Zach, I have nothing else for today, man. Get me out of here. I've been looking at this. I have this chicken quesadilla that I've just been waiting to eat for the whole show.
Well, get your hungry ass on there, Chris. Man, well, I appreciate everybody. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Menace out.
Menace out.